Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, my colleague, and we're joined a special guest, Mauricio Claver Caron, former president of the Inter-American Development Bank, looking at the mission of the IDB and what needs to be done. Joseph, you have a question for Mauricio.
Yes. So, Mauricio, you were talking a bit at the end there about this kind of previous culture that exists at the IDB of kind of this crony capitalist culture, a bit of a political patronage. And so, both you and I have done a lot of work in Latin America. And I've always heard about this sort of industry that exists, the kind of log rolling and political backslapping that happens in all kinds of different multilateral institutions, but in Latin America's course, the largest lending institution, which is the IDB. How much of that was an obstacle to the reforms you're trying to make? And then I go one step further, Mauricio, at this point, how much good does the bank do to economies in Latin America, or does it make them somewhat dependent on these loans and his lending that doesn't allow them to do the structural reforms necessary to actually have growth?
I've come to the conclusion that Latin America and the Caribbean doesn't want to develop. And the reason being is Argentina, Brazil, and Mexico, let's say Brazil and Mexico, first and foremost, should not need the Inter-American Development Bank. There's not enough projects that we can do in those countries to actually make like a systemic impact on those countries. Their economies are just too big, et cetera. Good policies, good practices in those countries are what's going to make the difference there. Argentina is just an embarrassment. The fact that they still need to essentially crutch off the development bank in order to continue its bad practices is actually the perpetuation of those bad policies. And that's why Argentina keeps getting away with perpetuating these bad policies, because they keep crutching off institutions like the Inter-American Development Bank, for which Argentina is our largest client, right? It has over $13 billion in exposure that the IDB has to Argentina. So there we're just perpetuating the wrong. Where the IDB can have a huge impact if it wanted to, and that's where it was focused, is on the small countries, which are 19 out of the 26 shareholders. And that's what I came in to do. I came into one reform the institution to be private sector, move away from China and be private sector led. And we broke all records. Now, the one thing they can't erase, and they're trying to erase everything we did. And by the way, they're now trying to retaliate against the other Americans that I brought into the institution. Not only my former chief of staff, who was a 20-year senior national security official of the United States, nonpartisan, but they're trying to retaliate against her, against various other Americans that I brought into the institution, and against some of the people from the small countries that I empowered. I sought to bring in, the first time ever in the history of the bank, people from small countries, from like-minded small countries, Ecuador, Paraguay, countries in the Caribbean, to bring them into positions of power in the bank. 62 years, and there had never been a vice president from a small country. I made them all the vice presidencies from small countries. The big countries don't like that, because this is where their political power plays. So they bring in the worst of their, cannibalized politics and the worst of their lack of integrity into these institutions in order to control them. And who are the big losers? The small countries, where frankly, the IDB can have the most impact if it's where it set its mind to. And by the way, the one thing that, again, just I think that we're extraordinarily proud of is that we showed, and this is why also this whole experiment of the American president had to fail. In my full year as president of the IDB, we broke every record in that bank. It had never done more than $17 billion in financing. We did $23.5 billion without a capital increase, simply by optimizing the balance sheet, historic savings, and mobilizing more private sector co-financing from American companies, ironically, than ever. We showed what could be accomplished if you do things right. They didn't like that, because if the experiment of the American president was successful, then guess what? They were going to want to continue it. They were going to lose power. So at the end of the day, the ends justified the means.
Mauricio, Joseph and I do reporting on all of the Latin American countries going through presidential elections or changes of leadership. The country that comes up again and again is badly damaged by the pandemic is Peru. I know within these last weeks, it's been reported that they've had to double the cost in soup kitchens because the country is so much at odds with the recovery in the rest of the region. It was badly damaged by the pandemic. The IDB, can it help a country like Peru, which has what right now vague leadership from Mr. Castillo, but the people are very needy?
So the answer is yes. So, you know, even countries that are like the medium-sized countries, Colombia, we call them the B countries, Colombia, Peru, Chile, the IDB can have an impact. Unfortunately, even for those countries, the outsized role that Argentina, Brazil, and Mexico plays makes it very difficult. And ironically, you know, they were to benefit from some of the reforms we were taking place, but, you know, kind of the politics, you know, right now it's about ideology over results. And what we're seeing is this new wave of 21st century socialism that's overtaking the region. And we see it in Chile, Colombia, Peru, and obviously in Argentina and other countries. And that is what has become the priority. That's really what's overtaken a lot of the practical results. So no matter how much good we want to do in countries like Peru, Chile, Colombia, et cetera, they don't care, because right now it's all about politics. It's all about ideology, which is why, frankly, I'm not sure how much impact we can have anywhere in the region right now.
And so what we have here then is a disconnect between the leadership that is trendy and the people who are still in the thrall of the pandemic. Is that how to regard this, Mauricio?
And they want to take over. And guess what? The difference between 21st century, this new 21st century socialism versus the one 5-10 years ago is that no longer, thanks to the Trump administration, thanks to the work we did, no longer have PDVSA, the Venezuelan oil company, as their piggy bank to sustain all of their bad practices and bad policies. So now they have to go out there and figure out how to find some new financing, because we sanctioned PDVSA, so therefore it doesn't have any more money. It's almost bankrupt. So now they have to figure out how to go find new financing. So what? Guess what? They want to take over the IDB. It's really the only piggy bank that's out there for them to sustain their bad policies in this new era of 21st century socialism. And by the way, politically, now they're doing the same thing to the Secretary General of the OAS, because now they want to take over that institution, because for the first time in the history of the OAS, we have a Secretary General that actually sees political clarity in regards to, you criticize dictatorships of the left and the right. So Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua, they're just as bad as the dictatorships of the right that the left loves to criticize.
Joseph, we have a question. We have a few minutes left.
Yeah, just very quickly, Mauricio. I think, you know, always hindsight's 20/20, and knowing what you know now, I imagine a lot of this was learning on the curve when you joined as the president, of the, first American president at the IDB. But is there anything that you would have done differently now that you know a little bit about the inner politics of how the bank works, about China's influence, about just the, all the shenanigans that can be pulled? Is there anything that you would have changed in your tenure? You had a very successful tenure in terms of the management of the bank, but the political aspect might have been a little more tricky.
Yeah, look, I can't help the politics of the region. And by the way, I can't help the bad policies of the current Biden administration in regards to the region that's empowered all of these countries now of the new 21st century socialism. So at the end of the day, I had everything working against us. I think what's different is we really focus. What I would do, I don't know if differently, but what I learned, first of all, it is like working in Latin America and the Caribbean. I'm of Latin American descent. I was born in Miami, and I've, you know, worked here all of my life. But it is really like working in the region, where all of those bad practices just are too prevalent and have been done for over 60 years. And changing that, you know, I have a very American results, innovative, kind of aggressive attitude in that sense, and honest and forthright. There you kind of have to do everything kind of in the workarounds. But I focused so much on the business of a bank to deliver results for the region, which we did, that I didn't pay attention as much to the inner workings of the bank. And that's where ultimately that bureaucracy that was so entrenched after 20, 30 years with like, they have contracts, indefinite contracts that you can't fire anybody, you can't move anybody. I kind of left that administrative side to work against me because I was so focused on delivering for the countries of the region, which is why we reached historic levels of satisfaction amongst our clients. But I had a whole flank inside the bank that didn't like the changes we were making because at the end of the day it was going to lessen their power. I'll give you one great example. There's $100 million a year in that bank that's supposed to go for technical assistance, which is essentially a slush fund that goes to all of the managers, and whoever gets there first grabs it, and then they hire all their friends as consultants. They do all these favors, et cetera. We changed that. We cut that out. We took away that $100 million slush fund, and we said, hey, this needs to be done through a process like RFPs. Tell us what it's for, how it's going to be delivered, et cetera. They hated that. They hated that because we were lessening that bureaucracy's power. If anything that I could have learned and I should have known and I did not coming in was how entrenched that bureaucracy, those political elites, because at the end of the day, those are former ministers and former personalities from all these governments over the last 20, 30 years that then go hide out at the IDB, how entrenched those people were, and then how much they fought back against the positive reforms we were making.
Mauricio Clavijo-Caron, former president of the Inter-American Development Bank, helping us understand an institution that I learned, thanks to Mary O'Grady, is in trouble. And the trouble has to do with the politics of the region, which is a trend Joseph and I follow each week, and also with the Biden administration, which is surprisingly tolerant of men who are authoritarian and bullying their people, such as Castillo in Peru, as I mentioned. Joseph Umar, the Executive Director of Secure Free Society. This is a special edition of the New World Report, and I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.